the installation of Pastors Daryl and Kristen. We love them very much and love Jude and Elle. It looks so good to see Elle up here singing tonight. I got tears in my eyes looking at her up here because she is like one of our girls. And so proud of Jude. Jude is close to our hearts. And they look just like Karen said. They're like kids of ours. I'm glad to be here with you. You feel like extended church family to me. And I feel the Lord really wants to do something good for us tonight. I've been feeling in my heart all this past week that God wanted to talk to us tonight about His supernatural power and ability to work in our lives. And then I know it's a special weekend of installation, and so I was trying to do something that would be fitting for that. But I really just feel tonight that God wants me to come here and to challenge you to dream again. Because life and hardship has a way of beating the stuffing out of us and beating the hopes out of us and beating the faith out of us. But I've come to declare faith in this house, and that Jesus Christ is still Lord, and He's still God of this house and God of your house, and that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I probably ought to go ahead and apologize to my cameraman. I'm probably going to drive you crazy tonight. I'm going to be all over this place. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Is Jesus holding your hand tonight? Just want you to lift your hand up right now to Him and just say, Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, take my hand. Lead me and strengthen me. Guide me and direct me in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want to read for you in Genesis chapter 37. That organ is helping me. Man, it's making me feel like I want to have some church. I might really be able to preach with a little bit of Hammond. Is that the C3? B3. That's the real church organ right there, a Hammond B3. Genesis 37 and verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. Skip to verse 19. And they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. In verse 20, just to pull a few words from that verse, they said, let's see what will become of his dreams. Joseph was 17 years old when he had this dream. I want to tell you tonight that God has a dream for your life. God has a dream for this church. God has a dream for your family. God wants to raise somebody up in this place. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of favor. God wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed. How many of you believe that tonight? You say, well, you don't know how bad I want to be blessed. Listen, it's the Father's good pleasure to give blessing to His children. If you being earthly know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father in heaven give good gifts to His children? And so God cares about your dream. When God wants to bless you, then He gives light into your spirit so that you can begin to visualize the dream that He has for you. And when you see this light, it moves you and it inspires you. Leaders always have a dream. When I was here back in January, Pastor Hooper was looking around and already dreaming, God placing in him vision for this house and for your lives. I can't tell you how many of you came up to me today and said things like, there's so much peace here. I remember one lady in particular standing back behind the camera in that aisle today, and she said, "You don't know what we've been through and how our hearts have hurt, but yet we know that God brought the Hoopers into our life." And this lady said, "There's just such peace here." I'm going to tell you where that peace comes from. That's the peace of God. That's the peace of the Holy Ghost. That's the peace of the plan of God. Because when God's man walks in God's plan and is in the place of his divine destiny, God things begin to happen. And it's my firm conviction, and I'll tell you more about that maybe in just a few moments, but it's my firm conviction that there was a man sent from God whose name was Darrell Hooper. And I believe that that man has been sent here to this land and to this house, to this county, to this city, to this people. And I want to encourage you to get behind the dream of this house and let God begin to do great things in your life and in your families. How many of you have family members or people close to you that you wish they were in this house with you right now enjoying the presence of God? And so I want to challenge you to dream again. I want you to dream again for God's favor and strength to be upon you. You can't allow dream killers to steal the joy of your dream. Many of you have children or grandchildren who God wants to do a work in their life. You have family members that have been devastated and destroyed by pain and by disappointment, but God wants to do a work in their lives. If you believe that, shout yes. George Bernard Shaw said, "Some men see things as they are and ask why, and others dream things that never were and ask why not." I want to ask you tonight, why not? Why not have revival? Why not be the church for the city? Why not be the church that is touching our county? Why not be the place that when people get in trouble, they think, "If I can just get to the Church of Covington, I know that I can find help." Why not be the place where people, when they hit hardship, they just think, "I know there's bread at the Church of Covington. If I can just get there, I know Jesus will change my life." Somebody shout yes. So I want to talk about a few things that a dream brings. I've spelled it out, D-R-E-A-M. And I don't know if I'll get to just D or I may get to R. I may get through all of it. But a dream will bring, firstly, for the D, a dream will bring destiny into your life. A dream brings your destiny or your destination. When God gives you a dream, you will begin to stand out. That dream will mark you. You will be different than just the norm. And I've come to tell you tonight that God has a special destiny for every one of you. My wife already said it. If you're still breathing, that means God's not finished with you. If you're still breathing, then God has a future for you. I have come to lift your faith tonight to tell you God's not finished with you. If you believe that, shout yes. God is not finished with you. He has purpose for your life. A dream also brings, secondly, it brings a release. A dream brings a release of your potential. A dream brings release of who you can be. A dream releases you to grow. And it's my conviction tonight that someone in this room can be sparked with the power and the presence of God that you can never be the same again. There's somebody here that God has a miracle for you. The number one choice of a fish requested by CEOs for their office aquariums is the shark. And if you put a shark in a tiny aquarium, it will only grow to approximately 8 inches long. But if you put that same shark in the ocean, it will grow to 8 to 10 to 12 feet. That shark will never grow larger than its environment. And I'm preaching to someone here tonight that if you stay in the mindset of little thinking, you'll never grow bigger. But God is wanting you to take the limitations off of your spirit, to take the limitations off of your future, and to dream again that God can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. If you believe that, give God a praise right now. Somebody shout hallelujah. You need to let God take you from the pond to the lake and to the ocean. You need to let God take you from little thinking to big thinking. You need to let God grow you and expand you. You need to let God release the potential that is in you. I know that when we experience pain, it can cause us to shut down. I know that when we experience hardship, it can cause us to think it's all over. But I've come to preach to you tonight, God's not finished with you yet. He wants me to tell you to dream again. Let His dream rise up in your spirit. Let His dream rise up in your heart. I've come to preach to you. Do y'all believe that God still works miracles in 2018? Is it all right if I preach on that? I know it may not be in fad everywhere, but I feel comfortable in this room tonight based on how y'all been singing and praising and believing. I feel comfortable to talk to you about a few miracles that I have seen. Can I talk to you on that just a minute? We had a leadership function at our church on Friday, and one of the young ladies came to the leadership function, and so we went to lunch at one of the at the lunchtime, and we're sitting across the table, and I said to Vanessa, I said, Vanessa, how long have you been a part of the church here? And so she talked about it a minute and started getting tears in her eyes. And she said, when I think of what God has done for me here, it blows my mind. And she got started telling the testimony. She said, you know, the first time I walked in this door, I came because my husband just thought if he could drag me to enough churches, he could cause me to believe. She said, the first time I walked in the church, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in a God. I was raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. I didn't believe in a God. And so I came into your church, and she said, y'all were singing praise and worship, and singing thank God for the blood, and singing God can do anything, and singing His name has all power. And she said, y'all are singing these songs, and I'm looking around thinking, well, this sounds good, and it feels good in here, but not believing in a God. She said, a lady stepped up behind me, and here I stood beside my husband. They came because they saw outdoor that we were preaching on heaven is for real. We had a banner out. So we wanted to hear about heaven is for real because someone had just bought him that book. And so we thought, well, maybe this is God that wanting us to go here. And so we walked in, and I'm standing there. She said, I was as skinny as a rail because I was so sick. I was throwing up every day. She said, I was in the midst of a very unhealthy pregnancy. No one could tell I was pregnant because I was so thin. I had lost 10 to 15 pounds through my pregnancy because I was so unhealthy and throwing up. She said, I knew that my baby was dying inside me. There was no way that my baby could be healthy because my pregnancy was so troubled. She said, I'm standing there not believing in a God. Y'all are singing songs of praise. And a lady came up behind me and put her hand on my shoulder and said to me, young lady, I just want you to know your baby is all right. I just want you to know your baby is going to be okay. She said, the lady then put her hand on my husband's shoulder and said to him, your baby is going to be okay. She said, when the lady finished talking, I turned around to say thank you, and there was nobody standing there. It got quiet at Covington. She said, here I am standing, not believing in this God. Y'all are singing songs about the power of God, a God that I don't even believe in. And yet He cared enough to send an angel to speak to me to say, your baby is going to be okay. And she said, my baby was born, and my baby is okay. And now that little baby is 3 or 4 years old, and God has done a work in that family. She went on to say, and she starts, you know, just crying and said, I'm sorry, I'm crying in a restaurant. And I said, it's okay, testify, girl. She talked about when she went to her home country of Puerto Rico, where her family is from, and was there and got so sick and is in the hospital. She had a terrible infection in her body, and they told her, if we can't get this cured within 7 days, then you're not going to make it. And she went past the 7 days. And then she got trapped in Puerto Rico and could not get out because of that bad storm that was just a couple years ago. And she said, I was dying in the hospital. She said, I had a pen and paper in my hand because the doctor had just come in and said, we're sorry, you're not going to make it. We've done all we can do. There's nothing else we can do. And she said, I had pen in my hand and I had paper in my hand. And I was writing out the will for my little baby girl. I was writing what I wanted to happen for my baby girl. But she said, y'all called me from the church on the phone right in the midst of me writing that. And y'all prayed for me. And she said, from that moment, God healed me and raised me up. Hey, I'm a believer in this man called Jesus. Give him a great praise. God wants you to dream again. The D is for destiny. The R is for a release of the potential. The E is a dream brings encouragement into your life. A dream brings encouragement into your environment. I want you to be encouraged tonight, because I feel the sparks of a dream coming again into our lives. You can become discouraged and you can become depressed. But people that have no dream, they can be overwhelmed until they're put under. But God sent me to Covington tonight to tell the church at Covington it's time to dream again. It's time to believe that it can happen for you. It's time to believe that it can happen for your church. It's time to believe it can happen for your family. Somebody shout yes. Karen and I were in Louisiana at a conference. I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart to give our van away. It was what we were evangelizing in at the time. This probably goes back maybe 17 years ago. Give your van away. It was our only vehicle. I started crying. I knelt down at my chair and just started weeping. Not so much because I was in love with my van, but I started weeping because I knew the voice of God had spoken to my heart. How many of you know when just that still small voice, that the impression of the Spirit speaks to you? The Spirit just impresses you and you know down in your knower that my God is real and He's real in my soul and He has spoken to my heart right now. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I knew that I was to give that van, and so I went to my wife and I said, I know that God has spoken to me and I know it's our only means of transportation and I don't know how we're going to get another vehicle, but I know God has spoken to me. And she said, if God has spoken to you, then do it. Give the van away. That's fine with me. She probably didn't like it too much anyway. Give that old green van away. And so I went to the evangelist that was there at that conference that the Lord had spoken to my heart. I want you to sow this seed into this ministry. I want you to sow this seed into the soil of this ministry. And so I went to him and I said, brother, I don't know how I'm going to get to my next revival. I just know that God has spoken to my heart to sow our van into your life and into the ministry of you and your family. I'm going to tell you, a seed will never multiply until it is sowed into the ground. A seed will never multiply until it's released out of your hand. Somebody say sowing. I'm not talking about sowing a sock or sowing a shirt. I'm talking about sowing a seed. When you sow a seed into God's field, then God begins to give the harvest. Anytime God speaks to you about a seed, He's already thinking about your harvest. So while God is speaking to me there in Louisiana, I want you to give your van. So I did. I don't even remember how Karen and I got to our next revival. We went to Madisonville, Kentucky. I'm preaching there in the service, and a guy came to the service to visit, kind of like our friend Philip and Pastor Jason have come from Augusta. A guy drove from a neighboring city to the revival service that night. And he said, man, I want you to come out in the parking lot. I want to show you something. I said, all right. And so when I finished visiting, I went out to the parking lot. And we walked up to his car. And he got in the car, sat in the passenger seat, opened the glove box. And I thought, well, he's going to show me a handgun or something. I mean, I'm from Mississippi. And I thought, no telling what he's going to show me, and I want to see it. And he reached in and grabbed an envelope out of the glove box of that Mercedes, and he handed it to me, and he said, here's the title to this car. God spoke to me to come give you my car. Y'all are shouting a little bit better on a Mercedes. That's all right. I got some more to tell you. I sold a GMC van, and God gave me a Mercedes-Benz. I Got a few more claps out of that. It'll get better. Just stay with me. I sowed that Mercedes-Benz. God dealt with my heart. I sowed that into ministry, and then God blessed me. Because the fourth thing that a dream will bring into your life is an attitude of faith. And when you get an attitude of faith, you begin to believe, you know what? God can do something in my life. Your attitude starts changing when you allow God to place a dream. Can I come down here and walk amongst y'all? When you allow God to speak a dream into your life, it creates an attitude of faith in you. It creates an attitude that you tell the devil, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. No. When you get that dream down in your heart, it creates an attitude of faith that you just believe, if God is for me, then who can be against me? You just believe, you know what? I am blessed and highly favored. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Get out of my way, devil. I'm claiming my blessing. I'm talking about when you get a dream alive back in your heart. I intend to preach tonight until the church at Covington has a dream alive in them and the devil takes packing out of this county. The quicker we get there, the quicker we can get out of here, all right? So my wife and I are pastoring in Orlando, Florida. This is really where I want to get to. My wife and I are pastoring in Orlando, Florida, just south of Orlando in St. Cloud. I'm preaching a Sunday morning. I'm driving one of my favorite little cars. It was a red PT Cruiser. It had a jamming stereo in it, good bass. It was all about that bass, and I could turn the volume up and it would just thump. And so I'm preaching on a Sunday morning. And the Spirit of the Lord drops this thought in my mind. I want you to give your car to Diane Harrington. So I'm preaching and I'm having this conversation. And when that thought came in my mind, I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. The Spirit of the Lord comes back to me again. He said, this ain't Satan. You know my voice. I want you to give your car to Diane Harrington. So I just kept preaching, and Karen said, I could see that look in your eye. I knew the Lord had spoken to you. I didn't know what he had said, but I knew you were up to something. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me the third time, I want you to give your car to Diane. Who is there a Diane in this room that you want me to give my car to you? Look, Jim, you hadn't raised your hand that high all night until I said that, and you got that hand pointing. Diane's about to get the Holy Ghost back there, just jumping jacks and waving. God bless you, Diane. I said to one of the guys that was like a personal assistant there, I said, Joe, go to my office and get the keys off my desk. He goes and brings me my ring of keys, and I said to that church family, now Diane was a retired age. She was in her 60s. Her husband had died suddenly and left her a widow. She's driving a car that she would have to come around to the passenger side. She carried a broom handle in there. She would take the broomstick after she opened the passenger door and reach across to the other side, put the hook in the deal, open it, and then shove the door open with that broom handle. That's what Diane had been driving. The church family loved Diane. She was in a rough shape. She was struggling. And so I just said, Diane, the Lord has just spoken to my heart to give you my car. And man, the church jumped up. They started weeping. They started laughing. They started rejoicing because everybody loved Diane and they wanted this sweet widow lady to have a car. And so we're all blessed. Diane came out of her chair. She said, woohoo, thank you, Jesus. And she started giving him a praise. So after service, I met Diane and I said, here's the key. This is your car. And she said, well, Pastor, you don't have to give it right now. I mean, you got to get home and I said, Diane, I'm not driving this car again. This is your car. I am not driving it to lunch. I'm going to ride with my wife. This is your car. God just gave this car to you. She said, well, thank you, Pastor. And so I took the key and gave it to her and brought the title back to church that night and gave it to her. I promise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The next morning on Monday, I'm in my home. And I get a phone call from a guy who was not in that service. He, in fact, was in another state, several hundred miles away. He had flown back in Monday morning, and he calls me, and he says, Pastor, I want the code to get in. We were living in a little condo area. I want the code to get in. I've got a gift I want to bring to you. I said, all right, John, I'll give you the code. Here it is. And so he came and left a little gift out on my front porch and called me. And he said, he's leaving now. He said, Pastor, I left a gift for you out on your front porch. If you'll come out, you can receive it. So I step out my front door expecting to see a box on the front porch or to see some little basket or something. I look and there's nothing on my front porch. So I walked a little bit further and I walked around the corner, and I promise you in the name of the Lord Jesus, there was a Mercedes-Benz sitting in my driveway, a second Mercedes-Benz. I said, God, if I could figure out a way to do this and just keep sowing PT Cruisers and turn them, is anybody with me? Another Mercedes-Benz sitting there. I want to back up and close with this, because a dream brings destiny. It brings release. It brings encouragement. The A, it brings an attitude of faith. And then the M, when you get a dream causes miracles to begin to come into your life. A dream causes the creation of miracles to come into your life. And Philip, I'm believing to send a miracle home with you for Alicia. I'm telling you, is everybody all right here? Can I go on just another couple minutes? Would anybody give me 5 more minutes? Anybody 5? Okay, there's 10, 15, 20, 25.
Got all night.
A dream, thank you, brother. Don't say it too loud, they'll throw you out of here. A dream brings miracles into your life. When you have a God dream and you're walking in a dream given to you by God, it causes the supernatural to come into your life. I'm coming in for a landing because I believe God wants to speak miracles into this place. Now listen, a dream is never impressive in its embryonic form. In fact, when Joseph first had his dream, his brothers thought, you're crazy. We're gonna kill you. In fact, they said, let's just kill this guy and then let's see what'll become of his dreams. But when God gives you a dream, it creates the miraculous in your life. When God gives you a dream, it causes miracles to begin to flow. And I'm telling you here tonight, Pastor Hooper and Pastor Kristen and Jude and Elle and the Church of Covington have come together as a part of a dream of God, and God has dreams for you. God has good dreams for you. Can I tell one more story? Man walks in the back of the church. Before we were pastoring in Florida, I see him walk in. I'm already in the pulpit. He's running late like some of those people this morning. None of you. Sometimes people can get to church a little bit late. He's running a little bit late. He walks in the back door, and I see like money hanging off of him. It was like he was a man as a tree walking, and I saw money hanging off of him. You say, well, you really going to talk about money in God's pulpit? Let me tell you something. You spend more time of your life trying to get money than you do anything else. It takes money to live. I got 4 amens on that. It takes money to pay your light bill. It takes money to pay your mortgage. Unless you're debt free. Hallelujah. So I said to John, later that next day, the pastor had asked him to take me to the airport. And I said to John, do you believe in receiving a word from God? Do you believe in a word of faith? And he said, I do. I said, I felt like the Lord showed me something last night for you. He said, I receive it. Tell me. And I said, John, when you stepped in that back door, I saw like limbs hanging off of you and like dollar bills, like you were a money tree. Is everybody with me? Are y'all all right? I saw like money. I've never seen that before, and I've never seen it since. I said, it was like you were a tree walking and there was money hanging off the limbs. He said, I receive it, Pastor. I receive it. I was not his pastor at the time. I was an evangelist preaching in that church. I said, John, God's spoken a number to me. Would you receive it if I spoke a number? He said, I receive it. I said, God said $600,000. In the next year, John, God is going to give you $600,000. He said, Pastor, I'm going to give back. I've been sowing into the church. And he didn't tell me his situation, but later he told me that when I spoke that word to him in February of 2003, he had filed bankruptcy in December. His business partner that he had built several houses with had gone sideways on him, had left the state of Florida, and left him to pay the bills. Somebody give me a time check. How long have I been preaching? Y'all all right? His partner had left him holding the bag and holding the debt, and John said, later told me, I had to borrow money to have food to eat at Christmas. I had to borrow money just so I could buy immediate family members a little gift. I lost my house. I lost my business. I lost my truck. It's like they say about a country song. You know, they say if you play it backwards, he gets his wife back, his dog back, and his double wide back. And his Ford truck. Oh, Chevrolet. Are you a GMC man?
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you, where I grew up in Mississippi, men would almost fight over what kind of truck they drove. The Ford men and the Chevy men, they would just go at it with each other. And you let a Dodge boy walk up and they both stone him. Hallelujah. You say, why are you saying all of this? Because God wants to raise up a man to fund the dream. I didn't hear very many amens. I heard a few ladies say amen. Maybe God will use a lady to fund the dream. My wife took a little nap just for maybe 15 or 20 minutes today. She woke up, and it's what I've been feeling. I hadn't told her. She woke up from that nap, and she said, George, I feel like you need to preach on miracles tonight. She said, while I'm sleeping, I'm feeling miracles in my sleep. And it's unusual for me to feel like this. And even in my sleep, it's just, I believe God wants to work miracles. I came to you tonight telling you God wants to perform a miracle to fund the dream. I said, John, you're going to get $600,000 this year. Week 51, I'm now the pastor there. The pastor that was there, he resigned and moved to another state, became pastor of another church. He calls me and said, the church loves you. Would you come? And so Karen and I prayed about it, and we said, not our will, but thine be done. We're pastoring there now. Week 51, we moved there in July. I preached there in February. We move in July. The next year, January, February, it's week 51. John calls me. He said, Pastor? Yes, sir. He said, I've got $497,000 that have come in since you gave me that word. $494,000. He said, I'm $106,000 short. There's 1 week left. And I just wanted to call and let you know. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the name of common sense did you call me? I don't want to hear this. I've been going for 51 weeks forgetting about that word, and I don't want to stress over this now. I just wanted to let you know. I said, God, I didn't say that. You said it. I want you to hasten your word to perform a miracle. John called me the next week, week 52. He said, there was a property deal that I was involved in over 2 years ago that went south. It didn't go through. The man that I was involved in that property deal with, I was no longer a part of that deal. That's back in Orlando when market was going through the roof. Prices were escalating. He said, the man called me. They just did a huge land deal. And he said, John, you're the reason I even have this land deal in the beginning. You gave this deal to me. You were a part of it. I'm going to give you your cut of the deal, $115,000. $600,000. $600 plus. So John came to me and he said, Pastor, here's the $600,000. I remember when John gave me his first tithe check, he handed me a $5,000 tithe check, $5,000 offering. He's handing that to me. He had just made $50,000. It was the first $50,000 installment of this miracle that God starts working in his life. The Spirit of the Lord says to me, tell him that's a small check. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to tell him that. You're doing a great job playing. I know you're trying to help me land this plane, and I'm trying. Y'all stand, it'll help me close. God says, tell him it's a small check. I said, God, I don't want to tell him it's a small check. I said, John, can I tell you what I feel the Lord saying to me? He said, sure. I said, the Spirit of the Lord told me to tell you that $5,000 is a small check. He said, okay, I received that. He said, but I can tell you when I was writing that check out, there was a little voice on my shoulder that said, you need this to pay off some of that bankruptcy debt. You don't need to sow this into the kingdom of God. But he said, I'm going to pay my tithe. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to pay my tithe because if I'll be faithful in little, God will make me ruler of much. He said, God even told me while I was writing it that if I'd be faithful, that was a little check. You're just confirming what I felt in my heart. I saw John bring me a $10,000 check and another $10,000. I saw John bring me, one day he walked down to the altar, Pastor, here's $15,000 tithe check. Here's a $15,000 offering check. John kept sowing and God kept increasing. When he came to me and said, $600,000, I said, John, the Lord has spoken another number to me. He said, say it, I'll receive it. I said, John, God has spoken 3 million. I'm boring some of y'all, but there's somebody in here that might have a little bit of faith. I said, God has spoken to me $3 million. I watched in about 7 or 8 months, John came to me and he said, Pastor, the bankers came to me, wanted me to redo all of my assets so we could see where we are on all this property, trying to fund another deal, $3.2 million. I said, John, Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart again. I said, John, the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to my heart again. He said, say it. I said, are you sure you can receive it? I receive it. I don't know if I ought to give y'all this number or not. I might ought to save this for the next time I come. But when you have a dream, God will cause miracles to start flowing into your life. I said, John, God's just spoken to my heart $15 million. He said, I don't see how that can happen, but I receive it. I receive it by faith because everything God has said so far, he's done that. Who in here believes that God can do anything he speaks into your heart and into your spirit?
Amen. Yes.
2005, summer of 2005, John and I were standing out on 192 in St. Cloud, Florida at the Village Inn. He said to me, Pastor, they've just redone my assets to see, going to try to fund another deal. They wanted to see what all the property that I have is worth. $15.2 million. I stood there and he was looking at me like, what you going to say now? I stood there for a moment and I said, John, voice of the Lord is silent to me right now. I don't hear anything. I don't hear God saying another number. I said, now God's not telling me this, but the fact that God is silent tells me that I think if I were you, I would start thinking about liquidating and getting out of the land business. I think maybe you need to hit the pause button and just slow down. Maybe there's a change coming in market situations. I don't know. But I don't hear God saying anything else. And if you'll go back and look at the calendar and look at the real estate prices in Florida, 2006 is when that stopped. 2007 is when it started cresting over, started coming down. My wife is here tonight. She could verify this story. I just talked to John just a few weeks ago. Said, John, it was a great ride that God gave you. It was a great miracle. I've told this story a few times, and people said, I want it. I'll jump in line. Listen, I don't have the power to give it to you, but I know who does. And if somebody could touch the heart of God and get in the favor stream of God. So I was sitting over here this morning. I apologize for taking a few extra minutes. I don't hear God saying, yet let my people go, and I want to let you go just before he says it. Well, sitting over here this morning, I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak something to my heart he's never said to me before. Never said this. I just had this in my mind, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I blessed John to fund the dream that I gave you. The blessing was not so much about John as it was the dream that God had for his church. Is anybody able to get a hold of this tonight?
Yes.
I have more I want to tell you, but God wants to give some of you a dream tonight. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse number 9, and Joseph dreamed again. He dreamed again. He dreamed again. Sir, God wants you to dream again. Ma'am, God wants you to dream again. Family, God wants you to dream again. God wants that smile on your face where you have a dream down in your heart, that a dream is bursting out of you. A dream is coming out of your life. God wants you to dream again. If there's someone in this room that you want God to give you a dream again in your life, I wish you would step out of your chair and come to this front right now. If there's someone here that says, you know what, pain and life and happenstance and circumstance has beaten the dream out of me, but I want to dream again, I want you to come down here quickly and just believe God is going to breathe life into you. God is going to breathe hope into you. God is going to breathe fresh dreams into your life. Who is it here tonight that God is looking? That God's looking over the whole earth to see, who can I trust? Who can I entrust with my blessing? Who can I entrust with my favor? Who can I entrust with my grace? Who can I speak that dream? And that dream that once was there, but it's dead now, and you're wondering in your heart, will this dream ever live again? And God's come to say to you tonight, I want you to dream again. I want you to dream again, Tony. I want you to dream again, Jim. I want you to dream again, Bob. I want you to dream again, Bill. I want you to dream again, Kelly. I want you to dream again, Susie. I want you to dream again, Kathy. I want you to dream again. I want you to lift your hands with me all over this room. Let the presence of God touch you and embrace you. I wish we would go to God in massive repentance. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, cleanse my heart. I want you to wash me. I want you to purge me. I want you to heal me. I want you to help me. Come on, all over this room. Jesus, forgive me of any sin in my heart. Cleanse me of anything wrong in my life. Father, I want you to wash me. I want you to make me new. I want you to cleanse my heart, oh God. I want you to wash my spirit. God is here to do something in your life tonight, sir. God is here to do something in your life tonight. God is here to do something in your heart, in your family. I'm telling you, something could happen in your spirit and in your mind that you would never be the same. God wants to touch someone here tonight in that way that you will never be the same. I want us to just begin to sing and to bless the Lord and praise him. You just begin to cry out to him. I'm going to come and lay hands on a few of you and believe with you, and God's going to touch you tonight. God's hand is going to help you. Somebody's going